Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney, and that's good, because during the Netflix is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd, live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
They aren't as cute as Mogwai. They aren't as gross as Ghoulies. They aren't as evil as Critters. But they are more perverted than them all. We saw Munchies, so you know what that means. Warner Theater to talk about. Thank you. We are live at the Warner Theater to talk about the 1987 classic Munchies. Oh, Munchies. Munchies, it's like Gremlins, but cheesier. Munchies are a bunch of perverted aliens, and if you've not seen the movie, let me tell you a little bit about it. An archaeologist finds a strange creature in Peru and takes it home. He dubs the creature a munchie, but is unprepared for the ensuing chaos when the beast starts to mutate. Things get even more complicated when a con man steals the munchie. And that's what happens in a movie that took 12 days to shoot. In a movie in which the puppets don't move their mouth. In a movie where there are more call-outs to Gremlins than in the movie Gremlins. I love Munchies. And I cannot wait to break it down with my two co-hosts. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Jason Manzoukas!
What's up, jerks? That's right. How we doing, DC? Fuck yeah! We did it. We fucking did it. Holy shit. Oh, boy. I'm going to admit, good, great, great looking crowd, great audience energy. I love every minute of it, but they seem to watch the trailer for Munchies as if they were genuinely interested in the movie, which I found chilling.
It was...
They were like...
It was disturbing to me. We've done 6 nights on the road.
Six nights! And as many movies per night.
Yes.
In 6 days. We've been watching these. I've at least been watching these during the day.
Same.
Of the show.
Same.
Just finished it in the hotel. Do I jerk off now? Like, what do I do here?
But I will say, every night, there has been a reaction. Something.
Oh, yeah.
Here, it truly was a moment
of, like, polite enjoyment.
And maybe that's just good Washington, D.C. behavior. You've all seen some crazy shit, and you've had to be like, yes, okay.
Yeah.
And then you go home later, and then you unpack it there. You in a public space.
At this point, they're like, we got to chill out. We got to be cool. We can't storm the stage.
Yes. A lot of people.
Big pop for that. Big pop for J6. That's right, everyone.
I will say, a lot of people in this room, there's a lot of Reddits that say that Munchies were responsible for January 6th.
A lot of people are saying that Munchies were able to vote and they shouldn't be.
Well,
because one of the Munchies got voter registration but then kept cutting itself in half. Suddenly, they're stacking the ballot box, these goddamn Munchies.
Technically, in Georgia, that's still legal. So, they have these weird anti-Munchie laws, or I guess pro-Munchie laws. Anyway, we're going to get into
a lot. Came so close to watching Munchie. I just want you to know.
I know, I was nervous
about
that.
Because when I was punching in MU, and it was like one of the first ones that came up, and I was like, well, this has got to be it.
No.
And it was not. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I would have been out of my mind.
Not only is Munchies a ripoff of Gremlins, but it also, the poster is also a ripoff of Lady in Red or Woman in Red, that Gene Wilder movie. Remember that Gene Wilder movie where the woman's standing with
Lady in Red? I believe.
The Munchie is taking the same position as Gene Wilder.
Wow. This movie, I could say so much about it. And you're telling me Munchie, singular, is not a sequel, a prequel, a spiritual sequel?
No,
A legacy prequel?
Munchie has its own set of sequels. Munchies, one and done.
Well, you know, because they respect the craft. They nailed it. They were like, we can't improve upon this. DC's got to give it their stamp of approval, but otherwise we're good.
Someone did put on the Discord, are you picking Munchies because of the rumored Gremlins 3, which was supposed to take place in DC? No. I didn't even know there was a rumor about Gremlins 3 taking place in DC.
Only DC would be keyed into the rumor, like as if, well, everybody must know about the Gremlins 3 rumor. Get it together, assholes.
But there is one woman who knows a lot about a lot of things. But I don't know how much she knows about Munchies. We're about to find out. Please welcome to the stage, June Diane Raphael. Wow.
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 Wow. That's a week into tour. That is next level flexibility.
That is.
Thank you so much. I want to just quickly, I need to discuss DC's reaction to the trailer.
Yes.
I need to say something. I need to weigh in. I need my voice to be heard. Because you all were silent. And at one point, see, where my mind went is I was like, did they think we made this movie?
Are they being polite? Are they being like, We should not laugh because they chose it for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
There was such a very kind reverence for us and the show.
And the thing was, they laughed at all
everything
the videos
else.
In the pre-show, the Jay Marks video, everything, like, generous with laughter and applause and
then
reaction.
What?
And then the trailer, you were like...
I got nervous.
Oh, this is the show. The show is now. Okay, everybody, shh.
I got nervous that the audience left.
It was or had absolutely
been,
shocking.
Or had been, like, put to sleep.
Let's talk about Munchies. The opening of Munchies begins with a young man named Paul who wears sneakers like mine, who is clearly in Peru, aka Calabasas, California, and he is with his dad. And this opening moment, I want to play it up top because I want to just unpack where this movie starts. Because yes, the Munchies are weird, but the interpersonal relationships between father and son in this movie, across the board.
This movie has more to say about fathers and sons than every Wes Anderson movie put together.
Truly. Let's watch.
If Wes Anderson were to watch this movie, he'd never make another movie again.
Let's watch clip one here of Paul and his dad.
Paul, quit trying. You're not going to L.A. to become a comic, and that's
Dad,
it.
Dad, come on.
No, you're not, Paul. First of all, you're not funny. Second of all, you don't know what L.A.'s like. It's like New Jersey with earthquakes. Mm. Come on, let's go. The early bird catches the worm.
Oh, is breakfast ready?
Doctor, we found someone to translate the stone.
Oh, great, Ramon. Is that exciting, Paul?
Yeah, I'm psyched, really.
Love it. I love that Paul is in a straight-up Marty McFly.
Yeah.
Everything in this movie is referencing a beloved movie of its literal time frame.
Not even
as an homage to something nostalgic from the past, but, like, remember this from 8 months ago?
This is, to me, the closest that we'll get to seeing what an AI-generated film is. It's like...
And suddenly, I'm on board?
It's like people like Gremlins, people like Back to the Future. We'll just mash it all up, and it won't make sense, but it will have a plot, kind of?
Sort of.
I mean...
Have you guys ever seen this?
No.
Okay, me neither. Even though
I've never heard of this movie.
I had because, the VHS box, same. I remember very vividly. It was very crazy for me to watch this because I am the age these kids are supposed to be.
40?
So, yes. So all of the styles, all of the references, right. Everything in the movie is from my high school era, including like the convertible VW Rabbit.
I love that car.
The coolest cool girl car in school. It was like, oh my God.
It's a sexy car.
It's so, when you look at it now, if you took it out of context, you'd be like, what is that ugly car? It's the hottest car in the world to me.
Yeah.
I love that car.
This was made during a time where like all high schoolers were 37 years old.
And were consumed with the Cold War.
Yes.
Commies and the big one and spies.
But what's so weird about this relationship is
Which I loved.
I did too.
They're still together.
In my mind, yeah.
In my mind. Long live Paul and Cindy.
Paul and Cindy, first of all, let's start with the positive. They did have a lot of chemistry on screen.
They really did. Fun.
They were very natural together.
I love their choice not to react to anything.
Me too.
Nothing.
They never seem fazed by, they're like, nah.
Absolutely nothing. And that goes for, that extends to the rest of the people in the world. Nobody has a reaction
to anything that's happening
in the world. I will say, another way this movie mimics my childhood is those were the only kinds of sex toys in bed that we would have allowed also an inflatable hammer, a laser gun.
Here's my question, though. Were we supposed to in the world? First of all, I didn't even know whose house it was. I thought it was Cindy's house and then she was an older woman about half of the movie. So I had to do a complete, reset.
When they said they were teenagers, I was like, I don't think so.
I do not.
Respectfully, no.
Yes. With all due, I disagree.
And we might look back on it and find out that they were both 18, but in 1987, it just wasn't weird. It was a weird time where people looked older.
So then I realized, and the reason why I thought that it was Cindy's house and that she was already out of high school and that this was a crime was because...
It was because she's also with the police guy?
Well, no, because when they get back to the house, and when I guess we'll talk about the art direction and the sets for roughly two hours.
What on earth could we talk about?
Not much to say, but the father says that he's going to go to a hotel. Now, so I think he's staying at a hotel and that it's Cindy's home. And I was in a different movie for a very long time. But once I realized, I was like, okay, wait, no, this is Paul's house. This is his father's house. And the uncle is
the
Cecil.
The father goes Cecil to a conference.
We got to just say, the father is played by Harvey Korman.
Yes.
Comedy legend.
Yes.
Not getting nearly the applause he should be right now. This audience, which I believe should be full of moms and dads night out, should all be... Wait, I'd like... Can everybody who's here on Mom and Dad's night out stand up?
Yes!
Yes! Yes!
Love
yes!
That.
Look at this! Mom and Dad's night out!
Woohoo!
This is incredible. I love it.
Well, Harvey Korman plays two roles... Two brothers. I just want to go back.
I just want to reiterate. Yeah. Harvey Korman plays two roles.
Yes.
and they almost never share the screen. They can. But it's like Harvey Korman, the dad of Paul, needs to leave so that the uncle can arrive? As if it's a play.
The movie feels like a play. It also, that plot line... You can't tug on it too tightly because it will fall apart immediately. I don't understand the larger implications, but I want to just go back.
Tug on it too tightly and it will fall apart completely. That's just, the t-shirt.
Just like a munchie. Don't tug on their string too tightly or they will fall apart. The son opens up the movie pretending to be Kirk, but not doing a Kirk impression from Star Trek. He's like... Stardate 235.4, and I'm with my dad, who's a Klingon. So when the dad says, you're not funny, hard agree.
At the end of the movie, when he decides to not go to college but pursue comedy, I was like, go to college.
He is doing nothing. When you set up a main character, and the first thing another character says... is you are not funny, it is hard to laugh at that character because we understand the world thinks he is not funny.
The number of times I wrote, oh, Paul isn't funny, in my notes, because Paul is trying the whole movie to be quippy and funny, and he's got comebacks, clever thing, and none of them work.
He says one thing, which I wrote down, he goes, what about my sports rundown? End of scene. Wait, that's not an out.
That's not the end of the scene. Then she gives him, they cut to, she's giving him the rundown of Battle of the Network Stars.
Right, but I'm saying that.
As if that's his sports, which is not funny as well.
But I'm saying that they leave that scene. He like walks up the camera. What about my sports rundown? Cut to car
as if the audience is going to be like, yes!
And it's so tough. I mean, the other thing, Paul Scheer, not Paul from the movie. The other thing is that, so once I realized that this was his home, then I put together that those things that were in his bedroom, the sex toys, were a part of his prop comedy.
It's gotta be.
And there had to be.
It's gotta be.
Had to be.
Otherwise, he's too young to be having sex.
Right, because he has that big hammer, and then
inflatable hammer, playing doctor.
Which he would have had to inflate before the sex. Imagine if you were making out, and then I was like, hang on a second.
And he keeps the hammer, like, within arm's reach, because she's surprised by it. He's like, want to play doctor? Yes. Click, clink. Okay. And
but
also,
I will say, even with all of the preposterousness, the laser gun, all the stuff, they still had legitimate sexual chemistry that I was on board for.
100%. I thought he was attractive.
I felt like
she
was attractive. Yeah. I felt like a creepy munchie.
I felt like a creepy munchie as well. I didn't understand,
though. Is that the t-shirt?
Though.
I feel like a creepy munchie?
I genuinely didn't understand parts of the sex scene, though. And I didn't like that. I didn't like that feeling of not knowing. When she says, Paul, that she doesn't understand, she says, I wrote it down. She said, that's not a watermelon. What is that? I didn't understand that.
That's not a watermelon.
Where she said, I'm behind the watermelon, or what was that?
Does anybody know what that was?
I think somebody's saying a Gallagher reference. And
oh,
I think
maybe
that,
you're right. I bet you're right, because it's comic.
I think that he is a prop comic on the rise. Maybe he turns out to be Carrot Top. I don't know. But
Carrot Top's
origin story?
Biopic? Is this Carrot Top's biopic?
I'm on board to say yes. I mean, they also are in a twin bed playing Space Invaders.
I didn't like that. I'm not interested in comedy sex.
That made me feel like they were too young to be having sex. There was too many little kid toys there. And not for nothing, we haven't mentioned this, the munchie gets in on the action. And I didn't care for that one bit. I didn't like that the munchie crawled in. I didn't like that she was that's too rough. I didn't like that.
Listen, I had a realization while I was watching Munchies, which was like, there's so many movies we've watched like this. I don't know. I don't remember them, obviously.
Can you name four?
No, I can't. I don't remember them because I have to remove them from my files. But I feel like the creatures in this time, late 80s, early 90s, they were always teenagers. The creatures were always like hormonal teen boys. They were never female. Like, I don't remember any gremlin.
I think you're forgetting about the lady gremlin.
The
sexy lady gremlin in Gremlins 2.
Who wore lipstick.
Because she has lipstick.
But you're right.
You're absolutely right. It's a Smurfette situation.
It is. And it's so interesting because they're always like hormonal teen boys who are looking at porn and eating junk food.
And you would think the gremlins would be women because if you get them wet, they go crazy.
Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah, save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eat all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions, $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential Plan only, separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home, but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, that combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's 2 in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these.
Not to go too far down the rabbit hole of getting gremlins wet, but I will say this. I respect gremlins for having 3 rules clearly stated at the top of the film. This movie makes no rules. There's 1, which I understand, which is don't cut them up, which is a dark rule.
Not only are there really no rules, but like gremlins, you get rules, but the gremlins don't talk. The mistake was the munchies are constantly learning speech and getting better at talking in a way that nobody then is like, how come the animal we got is talking? It is now speaks English. It says pyramid clearly in the opening scene. I was like, how come they're not being like, did this fucking thing just say pyramid?
It says adios immediately. Yeah. First of all, let's go back, and I want to hit that moment that you talked about earlier as if it's a play. Because they walk into this cave in Peru, Machu Picchu, and, okay, the centerpiece of a small set is this giant Incan god. Harvey Korman walks to the side walls. And then, what is this? As if it was like a giant set that he did not see? And then the sun says to a piece of cardboard, and it's made out of gold. It's like, we all have eyes. This is not a radio play. That is cardboard. That thing was in the center of the room that you didn't just stumble into it, but they are acting multiple times as if we can't see it.
Yeah. And then when they find the munchie... When they find the munchie, it's in the dark and
you can't see it.
For me, the thing that tells me very clearly this is something rare is that the munchie is wearing its own clothes. The munchie is wearing clothes that have like a belt and like metallic pieces. And once again, nobody seems to think it's weird that the munchie speaks English, that the munchie is wearing munchie clothes. And then when the munchies split and then split and then split, they all wear clothes as well.
They sure do.
Give me munchie rules, please.
And they come out with personalities. When the munchie is split open, one of the munchies goes, oh, what did I drink last night?
Yes.
Nothing. You were not alive last night.
One of the munchies is French. When did we get a French munchie? Get the fuck out of America.
It's so hard because it does seem like one of the rules is that munchies have been existing on some plane that we don't know about. And they are not... I didn't get the sense that they had been born, but they had been resurrected.
Okay.
And so they have been,
right.
They have been, or like, they had been on pause, on ice.
They had literally been, I think, statues.
Oh.
I think they had been statues, then exposure to something caused them to become...
Hold on, somebody in the crowd is coming.
There's a man in the crowd who's coming. Guys, please don't fuck during the show.
I love your enthusiasm, but I worry for the people next to you.
Is that it? Okay, so now I'm understanding this. No, I think you're right.
Because happens later is they get turned back into stone.
Wait, hold on. But wait. They can get turned into stone if they get electrocuted, which is a rule that we don't learn until it actually happens. And we're not even positive that that's a rule. It just happens.
But that's
so. But what Jason's saying, though, is that once they're electrocuted and turned into stone, the reason I'm understanding this, the reason why he smashes them is because if he doesn't, they will come back
at the
to
very
life.
End of the movie when he gives the stone guy, the stone version, the recently petrified Munchie. They give it to the bearded museum curator. He's driving away in a pickup truck. I don't think so. Lightning hits the back of the pickup truck, and the Munchie comes back to life. And you hear it go like, "Hey, wee, 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 wee."
See, I thought Munchies would only come back to life though if they were sort of like regenerated, like some a new piece of an old Munchie.
A new piece of an old Munchie.
Coming this fall on NBC.
A new piece of an old Munchie.
I thought that's when they came back to life. I didn't realize that lightning also brought them back.
Well, I want to be very clear. I don't think the movie is interested in interrogating the rules of Munchies at all. But late in the movie, Paul does figure out that lightning or electricity petrifies the Munchies. So
yes.
My assumption is the same thing must have freed them. From a person maybe who really is a Munchie expert.
Are there any Munchie experts?
Is there like
here?
A Munchie expert
unless
here by
you
any
are
chance?
Roger Corman, the producer or the director.
Did something happen at the beginning of the movie that tied lightning to the Munchies waking up?
I believe that something in Machu Picchu is tied to the
okay.
You
the man who's coming is still coming.
This gentleman is wearing a Munchies shirt.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. It
what's
is
your name?
Tim.
Tim, you are dressed as the dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the dude from Big Lebowski, but the dude from this
Munchies.
Movie. Yes,
yes,
absolutely.
Okay, so tell me what you know.
So when I watched the trailer, there was a scene that was not in the movie where you see lightning strike the statue, and that's how the first Munchie comes to life.
Why would they cut that?
Seems
I guess
like
maybe because, well, no, it doesn't make sense. You know what? We need a director's cut of Munchies?
Here is my bigger issue. The father, Harvey Korman Prime, not the evil Harvey Korman.
Evil Harvey Korman is essentially, did anybody else feel like evil Harvey Korman was Mike Lindell?
Yes.
The MyPillow guy? I could not get that out of my mind. Both in look and entire ethos. I feel like Mike Lindell has built his entire character off of Harvey Korman's Cecil Waterman in this movie.
But wait, I want to talk about this moment here. We're talking about these Munchies. They find an alien. And the father comes home and says, okay, well, I have to go to a lecture. Watch the Munchie.
Can I back up? Yeah.
Wait, why wouldn't... I mean, it seems like, why would you go to a lecture? You found an alien. Wouldn't your first priority be like, let me get the word out, let me figure out this.
And by the way, is it an alien?
It could be a baseball glove with a mouth.
I agree that nobody is really interested in the most interesting thing in the movie, the Munchies, right? Paul and Cindy like, want to have sex. Harvey Korman's got to go to a thing. Cecil Waterman is only interested in his toxic waste food empire.
Which
Little Ed and Big Ed are just trying to do law enforcement. We haven't even touched on Melvis. Give me a Melvis spinoff now. Melvis is MVP of the movie.
I literally watched that and I was like, oh God, there are no roles like Melvis anymore.
There aren't.
Like, there.
My favorite Melvis.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely
there
right.
Aren't.
When they do Lights Up in the Elevator and Melvis and Big Ed are making out,
best part of the movie.
I was like, this movie's a home run.
There are so many things, though, that go on in this movie that we just accept. And I feel like First of all, how does Cindy know that the munchies will enjoy a striptease? Like,
I think for Cindy, because Cindy turns it on a number of times in the movie.
Right.
With little Ed, like a number of times.
Absolutely.
So I feel like Cindy's just at a point where she's like, if I need something, I'm going to like striptease.
Who did she almost run away with? Was it like an impersonator in Hawaii? It was like Joe Montana impersonator. She almost married or ran away with a Joe Montana. Yeah,
this is the thing that I love so much about the movie. There are these references to people we never see. There's a reference to Duke's girlfriend, Denise. And they talk about her, the two women in the beach, just playing with a tire.
Right. Yeah. And a ball. Okay. A tire and a ball. So there was a game.
So
they were like, do you want to go play tire ball at the swimming hole?
And they are, I want to say, like, and then they're 18 years old. Like,
and they're all at the golf course at the end. Every character for every scene. The 36-hole mini golf course.
This movie is very special. It's very, very special. Well, that scene alone, the tire scene where they're just floating around, having a conversation.
Yep.
Well, this is,
and they're in high school.
They're in high school.
They are 40-year-old women.
They discuss.
Which is great.
They discuss Dude's girlfriend, and they reference her. She's a woman named Denise who runs the salad bar. She's a salad bar manager at that restaurant, Beefland? Western Beefland. I wrote that down, too.
And once she was brought up,
I was like, when are we going to see her? Like, I could not wait to meet this woman who runs the salad bar.
They also so derisively describe Dude as a burnout Santa Cruz deadhead. What a savage takedown of Dude.
But we never meet Denise.
We never meet Denise.
Western Beefland, but she's not there. And I was just like, and that's the thing about that woman. What's her name? Melvis. There are these characters, some who we never even get to lay our eyes upon, who are so rich.
Including many of the munchies. To just backtrack a moment to when you said, when Paul and Cindy are pinned down by the munchies outside the model home from Arrested Development that they appear to live in. Let's be clear. They appear to live in the model home from Arrested Development.
Which is trying to be bought by Harvey Korman's brother because he needs more land to hide more toxic waste.
I mean, but he has like acres and acres of land under the city.
When you get to the final battle, seems very empty.
When Cindy and Paul are pinned down because the munchies have a shotgun and Cindy does the striptease, one of the munchies says, must be jelly because jam don't shake like that.
And do you remember?
Who taught the munchies how to be creeps? Who taught the munchies how to be creeps? And
Jason.
Can I take a class?
I don't know.
Jason.
Ramon? I don't know.
Do you not remember?
No.
This is what was said in my household.
When?
Must be jelly because jam don't shake like that. This isn't a podcast episode.
Our podcast?
Yes. This podcast.
Yes.
What episode?
You guys just which one? Talking Cat.
Why do you remember that?
What is Talking Cat?
You were there
honestly,
for that one.
This podcast is taking up too much space. You're all mom and dads on a night out. Remember your children, not the episodes that we talk about stuff from our childhoods. You idiots.
My stepfather had a little bit of a belly, and my mom would rub his belly and go, must be jam, because jelly don't shake like that.
And you were privy to that?
Saw it happen all the time.
You honestly should have been removed from that house. And maybe this is word for word what I said the last time, but that is reason to call Child Protective Services. I don't think you should have had to hear that, know that, see that.
I jumped out of my seat because you and Jessica told me that is not a thing that people say.
Well, I'm happy to be proven wrong, except I'm sad for you. This victory is heartbreaking for you.
But I will say, maybe you're right. People don't say it. Munchies do. Munchies are from another planet.
Wait a minute. Was your mom dating a munchie? Was it Arnold? They call him Arnold because of the pig from
Green Acres.
Green Acres. Okay.
But I also
the movie has no original ideas at all.
I do want to talk about the Lynchian vibes in this film, which is the evil brother is always on TV.
Incredible commercials.
I have some commercials to take a look at
here. I loved every one of them.
Clip 3. Let's take a look at some of these commercials.
Hi, I'm Cecil Water. You know, there must be over 60 brands of wine food around the market now, but there's only one original. Cecil's all-natural wine cooler made out of wholesome California products. Cecil's, it's the real, real thing. Home of the valley's best steaks and crunchiest tater tots, featuring the mile-long 700-item salad bar.
This steak is so tender, it doesn't even taste like meat.
I just love those tater tots.
Yep, for beef so tender it melts in your mouth. It's Western Beefland. 4 convenient valley locations. Thank you.
There's nowhere to go and nothing to do. Let's go break some windows at the junior high. I'm up for some vandalism, dude.
You see? That's what happens when American youth doesn't have the proper recreational facilities. When they don't have a video arcade they can go into to develop the necessary hand-eye coordination that's so vital in the computer age. Well, they don't have a Cal Snacks Emporium to go into where they can get
it's
good,
Mike
wholesome food so they can grow up to be big and strong. And why? Because special interest groups oppose the solar mall for their own selfish reasons.
Okay, so stop it for right there. Here's my thought.
That is Mike Lindell.
The movie begins as they drive into Sweetwater or Sweet Valley, whatever the community is. Is the community only like Ferris wheel or amusement park things? Because it seems like the entire community is a mini golf course and multiple food stands. And he also controls all the televisions and has an elaborate system of listening in on all
why
the houses.
Why does he need his brother's house? He has everything. And you're right. The listening stuff is real creep city.
Here's my question. In that commercial about video games and arcades, are those two kids, Paul and Dude, when they were younger?
I don't think so. I think these are modern, contemporary.
Yeah.
Okay, because they sure did look like Paul and Dude.
I thought it was your son's cousin, Sam. The movie, I will say, genuinely has a very anti-meat message.
Right.
Multiple characters are vegetarian, anti-red meat.
I appreciated that part
meat,
of it.
Including like Big Ed and like a lot. The movie has a real, if there's a message to the movie, it's don't eat red meat.
But our main character, our Paul, is so upset that his girlfriend's gone vegetarian that she's really explaining it to him. She's like, no, we can still go to other places. And he's like, well, maybe fillet a fish. It's like, well, actually not there because that is fried and beef fat.
Which felt like
wow, what is the? Why are we going down this rabbit hole?
It felt like that was the movie telling the audience, you know, McDonald's fillet of fish, fried in beef fat. I felt like that was them like trying to be like, no, red meat is bad, and here's a strange place you might not know it is.
But in a movie in which we are putting up vegetarianism, we are also brutally treating animals, because the way that Mike Lindell, that fish tank is disgusting.
So gross.
It is green. It is
so gross.
And this is before any attacks. This is, he is overfeeding those fish.
Oh, yeah.
He is not cleaning that tank.
You are right, though, that this movie, This movie is more interested in interrogating like the mystery of red meat than like the mystery of aliens.
Or whatever they are.
Or just talking animals. And because, like, I like that about it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because Mike Lindell, Harvey Korman, is so much more upset by the death of his tropical fish than he is by his stepson, Dude. And
by the
even
way,
Dude's stepmother, because isn't it revealed that she adopted Dude from a previous relationship?
If anyone knows how Dude was adopted
at
and
11.
What the circumstances were, please raise your hand.
I want to say...
Because I could not... I rewound that. And I listened to it twice.
I have a theory, but I want to say... This movie is the music, the look, the poppy, the colors is fun. It's constantly telling you we're having fun, right?
Yep.
Dude's storyline is a tragedy.
It is.
If the movie was about Dude, it would be heartbreaking. He is adopted by Melvis when Melvis was with his father, who I believe has perished.
I don't know that that's true. I thought he was adopted when Melvis's cousin abandoned died.
Okay. Oh, so that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
So then Harvey,
which actually endeared me more to Melvis because I don't think Melvis had a romantic relationship with Dude's parents.
Yes, you're right.
I don't think that Melvis is really in love with anybody. Truly, I think she's in it for the money.
Well, I have a question. If I'm Melvis, I'm like, why didn't you cast me in this commercial?
Yeah.
Cecil.
Oh, wow.
There is
the
a perfect
tot.
Part for her to eat that
eat
tater tot.
Yep.
Maybe she had to leave early that day on the 12-day shoot.
I felt so bad for Dude, even though he like cuts a munchie, the first munchie, in half. But his life, he is just trying
Tragic
to listen
figure.
To the dead. He's just trying to listen to the dead.
But how? Let me ask you a question. How is he killed?
Oh, Paul.
I believe he's killed when the munchies turn the volume on the stereo up so loud that he's listening to Truckin', I think. And it kills him because the jam is so powerful.
Is that right?
These munchies are super violent, yet they just raise the volume. He could at any point take off the earphones, but he is killed by loud noise.
By volume. And like the munchies should turn it up and he'd be like, all right. Like he feels like to me the bus driver from The Simpsons.
How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you. I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Today's episode is brought to you by Cap'n Crunch. Who said the kids get to have all the breakfast fun time? Break away from the ordinary with Cap'n Crunch and bring back the spirit of adventure to your mornings. Everyday life can be stressful, but a tasty bowl of Cap'n Crunch is an escape from morning monotony. Enjoy the bold flavors like original Cap'n Crunch, Crunch Berries, Oops All Berries, and Peanut Butter. Plus, the crunch you love is now available in cinnamon, and it is delicious, even in a sea of milk. The crunch of Cap'n Crunch is epic. Yes, my family is all in on the cinnamon Cap'n Crunch. I didn't think you could make it better, but they did. I love my Captain Crunch, and now I love sharing it with my kids. Join the crew for your next breakfast time crunch venture. Get Captain Crunch's new Cinnamon Crunch now at a retailer near you and learn more at Cap'nCrunch.com. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly, 21 plus.
The relationship between the father or the stepfather and the son is so violent. He punches him, kicks him in the balls, slaps him in the face.
He almost strangles him to death.
And only because he likes the dead? He did ask for $500.
For the That's weekend.
For the weekend.
Just for the weekend. While he hacky sacks alone indoors? As someone who went to Middlebury in the early 90s and has extensive experience with hacky sacking, it is strictly outdoors.
I also...
And with a group.
I spent a lot of time as the movie progressed wondering what happened to Dude's body.
Was it... I also wondered that because I was like, when they're there and they're getting ready to... They're getting all physical, Mike Lindell and Melvis. They start to get all physical. I was like, is Dude's body still right there in the chair?
100%.
And is that like juicing it a little?
Oh.
This is an era... Like this, there's so many movies like this. And Paul, earlier you ran them down.
Critters.
Critters, Chud, Ghoulies. Gremlins, Ghoulies, Alf on TV. There's so many movies that are like this that have this whole thing. Cindy, from this movie, looked it up, also in Critters.
Yes.
Also Cindy's, in Critters.
By the way, Cindy was amazing.
Cindy was electric.
Amazing.
Love Cindy.
Harvey Korman, electric.
So good.
I will just say that there's a couple things I want to talk to, and then we'll get to the audience, but I would be remiss if we didn't just, for a moment, discuss the grandma. The grandma in the car.
Incredible.
Does she have a grenade, or did they have a grenade? Like, the grandma...
They have the shotgun still.
And the grandma is fighting them as if we're in... some sort of Mad Max world.
Which I would love.
I would love that.
Grandmas versus munchies?
Well, I had missed that it was the 4th of July, so when she started throwing fireworks at them, I was like, wow, this woman...
They explode her car. The munchies steal Dude's car, which is a gremlin?
Yes.
Which right? It is a gremlin, right?
I believe the license plate says, oh no, Gizmo.
Does it really? Incredible.
So, there it is.
Wow. So that's incredible. Oh, Gizmo. So they steal a gremlin. The munchies proceed to joyride in this gremlin for, I'm going to say, 50 to 60 minutes of the movie. It's just them driving. That's it.
Them driving, creating havoc, and then the other 40 minutes... are them just playing at a miniature golf course, not interacting with humans at all.
I'll be honest. The humans in this movie are reprehensible in every single way. I side with the munchies. I think the munchies get it. I want to live a munchie life. I don't want to be Paul or Cindy or Harvey Korman Prime or Mike Lindell Harvey Korman or Melvis or Big Ed or Little Ed. I want to be with the munchies cruising around getting girls' bikini tops off.
Here's the thing. At a certain point in the movie, I'm like, oh, the humans are the munchies. And what I mean by that...
What do you mean by
Hold
that?
Hold on.
What I mean by that... is that the humans have been ingesting toxic waste.
Yes.
For, I don't know, a decade? How many years has he been in business?
In myriad ways.
Yes.
As well as asbestos?
Oh, my God. So I was like, oh, I think maybe where we're headed is finding out that the Munchies have more humanity and have...
I think they do.
That
and we
the
are
humans are
about
to turn into aliens that they can't, the that we can't recognize.
We are talking about creatures, if you've not seen the movie, that
stop
have,
the podcast now and watch it.
That are the equivalent of, and maybe some of you will remember this or not, but like a little thing that you would put on the tip of your pencil that just has, they don't move. They are, Munchies are on sticks. Their mouth doesn't move. Their eyes don't move. They are just being like, it's like someone
this
put a
Munchie
stick
here,
up.
This Munchie on the poster yes. that you have on the yes. screen behind us, for those listening at home, is so much more like realized and so much more. This,
I have to say, Paul, I don't think that Munchie's
is
from
this
the movie.
Munchie from this movie.
No, that
I
is
didn't
a,
see
that
this Munchie.
I
at
never
all.
Saw this.
That
Munchie.
Is an artist's representation of a Munchie because
this Munchie every, looks like the X-Man Longshot.
I could not find a high-res image of a Munchie because Munchies are not, they're not ready for prime time.
The Munchies look...
Munchies are truly mostly robed.
And they are like Jawas with the head of Gonzo's rats from The Muppet Show. Right? That's what they're like. It's like Gonzo's rats from The Muppet Show, but with Jawa robes.
And they never move. We never see them move.
They just jump up and down. I want to say before you jump out there, yeah. I found the quote because we were talking about dudes' lineage before, and I knew I wrote it down, but I just found it. Mike Lindell Harvey Korman says, "Why'd you adopt that kid?" And she says, "I guess I felt sorry for him since he was so ugly and stupid." Justice for dude. This poor kid was doomed from the start.
From the
Paul has every opportunity afforded to him and is only rewarded with childlike sex and more opportunity. Give something to dude.
All right, I'm going out to the crowd to see what people have.
Be careful,
thoughts.
Paul.
I will. Hi, how are you? What's your name?
Hi, Madeline.
Okay, and your question?
Well, Headmistress Raphael.
Yes.
I would, first of all, like to know if these creatures that we see in these movies, they're horny teenagers innately, or looking at a titty magazine is what makes them weaponize women's bodies.
It's such a great question, because when we're in Peru and we're first introduced to our first Munchie, I was like, oh, I like this guy.
Arnold?
I like his little voice, and I was very... endeared to him. And then, yeah, he became a man and...
he gets cut in half first. And then when he gets cut in half...
No.
One of the first things that they do is put a pornography in front of him.
Well, they give him candy first, like E.T.
Right, then he throws it away and they go, oh, we got a litter bug.
Oh, yeah.
Hilarious joke. Then they take him on a 12-hour flight back to San Francisco.
I feel like when he gets cut in half and suddenly is multiple Munchies, that's when they're super creepy.
Yes, but I do think that there's something said in Peru that seemed really important, but it happened super fast, where Paul's dad talks about how quickly Munchies can learn. And so I think that they are learning. That's the reason why they speak Spanish in the beginning of the movie, because of where they are. And then they are very quick learners. So I do think that one of the reasons why they become sexualized and so obsessed with boobs is because of what's happened with that magazine.
And but that's not a bad thing, right?
No, it's devastating, actually.
Uh-oh.
This is devastating to me.
All right, your name and your question.
Hi, my name's Maya. I wanted to discuss the fact that Big Ed was at a riot control convention and then came back with a massive gun. Is this movie ACAB? Is that like what we're supposed to take away from it?
Okay. I mean, keep in mind, Little Ed says earlier, if she wasn't so cute, I'd mace her. After a routine police stop where he's like using his power to like keep her under his thrall. It is very not cool at all, Little Ed.
It's so funny because I didn't hear that about Big Ed, and I missed it, and I did wonder why he had that riot helmet on for most of the...
He was just coming, and he picked up the helmet, the gun, all of it came from the convention.
I think some of it, though, was because he was bald.
Paul?
I think that...
Interesting.
Say more, Paul.
This
say
is
more.
Insight that only you can provide, Paul.
I think, as a bald man, I can
Go
say
ahead.
That... In 1987, times were unkind to the bald. And he felt like his masculinity might have been...
Do you think he felt that way, or the director
of Munchies? He has so much testosterone. That's why he doesn't have hair. But yet...
Wait, you're saying he doesn't have hair because he has too much testosterone?
That's the truth. Look
He's
it up.
He's so manly as to be... Is to eschew the need for hair?
That's the way it works. Anyway...
Is it?
That's
I'm
true.
Fucked.
That is a scientific.
Oh test. God! Yeah, so, too much hair.
So he was trying to keep himself very masculine with having that chrome dome because at one point when he does take it off, they make fun of him.
Yeah, no, they this do when he takes
the helmet off. This is a sad story. This movie has a lot of sad stories. This is, like I said, a Lynchian tale of small towns.
Well,
suburban
keep in
America.
Mind, Harvey Korman Prime and Paul's Home. Maybe I'm wrong. Sorry. Mike Lindell and Dude and Melvis's Home has like a gun rack in the living room.
That's right.
I thought that was a pool cue rack.
It
that all
was.
Sat
in the other house.
Here's what was in that room: a pool table. A pool cue where there are...
That came from, like, stamps of some sort.
Yes, from green a bunch stamps. Of green stamps. I didn't know what that meant. Then there's also, like, a fondue maker and platter.
Oh, can we talk about when the munchies get into the kitchen? Beth, can you put that kitchen picture up? And one of the munchies goes, "Bah, this is the ugliest kitchen I've ever seen."
Again, I agree with the munchies.
But how do they know what a kitchen is?
I think I'm Team Munchie.
I've just been given a Robert Picardo ice cream helmet back
I have it in my notes. Has anybody come with the ice cream cone hats and
yes,
you've gotten one?
There are.
Great.
There
anybody else ice cream cone hats? Where? Stand up if you're wearing an ice cream cone hat.
Oh, there's one.
Where? Oh, there.
There's two.
Up there. Up there. Where else? Right there. Right there. Ice cream cone hat. Ice cream cone hat.
Amazing.
Ice cream cone hat. Yeah, you did it. You did it.
Amazing.
It's worth it. Mom and Dad's night out. We made ice cream hats.
By the way, the ice cream cone family, I love them.
Incredible.
Little Buddy Holly. But I will say this. Beth, the other side here, too. This movie is so janky that when they pull up to the realty sign, they clearly just tape.
Oh, yeah.
End clinic.
I loved this. I was so upset we didn't get to go into the red coat realty end clinic because I wrote it in my notes thinking, here we go.
And then when they get to the clinic, the next slide, the one that you just showed, you will see they just masking taped a little cross on the door, the one that we just saw before this.
I mean, that car is sexy as hell. Yes, great.
It is, that is the clinic.
I loved that the ice cream dad kept getting mauled by munchies and that part of his personal mythology is that he'd previously been mauled by a bear. What a fucking hero.
That's what I'm saying. This movie gives backstories and narratives to the most unsuspecting characters.
Everybody,
I loved it.
Everybody's got a spin-off of every character. The women from the lake who are cheerleaders. Cindy's own story. The munchies get their
Denise.
Story. Everybody.
We didn't even talk about the smaller people who worked at the French fry station.
Yes. Yes.
I'd watch a whole movie about that.
Of just the work conditions at Burger, whatever it was called. What's
and
it called?
And one of them seemed to
Western
be a child.
Beefland?
Beefland?
Western Beefland.
What? Burgerland. It was called Burgerland.
Oh, wait a second. So Burgerland is not Western Beef.
No.
No, different.
Western Beefland is a restaurant. Burgerland is a side of the road.
I mean, you all watched it, you idiots. This is crazy.
Ah.
I am up here in the balcony.
Wow, Paul, that was quick.
Be
what
careful.
What an amazing crew. Look at this crew.
Be careful, Paul.
Amazing.
The DC balcony is absolutely dangerous.
All right. Oh, I love
what do we
that.
Got? What do we got?
All right. We got so many. I want to talk to these three guys who are dressed in the Fry Guy costumes from the just aforementioned roadside burger stand. All right. So the three of you. Four of you. Okay. Welcome. Hi.
You're adult men.
Please post pictures. Oh, all right, here we go.
Yeah, go
how you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm great.
Great.
Oh, boy.
Wasted.
Oh, boy.
The balcony
this is my first
wasted.
Time here.
This guy has never seen the show before.
Never seen the show before.
Have all you right. heard the show before?
No.
Wow. And yet he is
and yet
in
he's in
full
costume.
Costume.
This is a hero, DC.
Did you see the movie? He has not
He's
seen the
not
movie.
He's not seen the movie.
Why are you in the costume?
He was abducted by friends, put into a costume, brought to the show, and is in the balcony, of course.
And is so confused about what's happening. Does anyone...
I'm confused as well, too.
Great.
Oh, boy.
Anyone have a question of these fry guys?
Oh, I have one.
All right, great.
What's that smell?
Dookie from
holy shit.
I'm moving up
DC,
no holds barred.
It's Sunday night. You guys have to work and right. run the country tomorrow. What the fuck are you up to? Get it together. The balcony is full of monsters with 40s taped to their hands.
All right, I
respect yourselves.
I am back with someone from the Discord who had an
How do you
point.
Know? What is Discord? What is Discord? I think Discord is people who are at odds with each other. Is that what it is?
Well, the Discord has a lot of different people, but this person that we'll be introducing has a very special greeting for Jason.
Hello, fellow Nahunter.
Are you kidding?
I am not. My family started the tides.
You fuck you.
Yeah.
What's up? Well done. Oh, wow. This is wild. Do I know you?
You're about 10, 15 years
okay,
old.
Okay, be cool. Okay, be cool, guy. 10 to 15? Just because I'm 50 and you're in the balcony doesn't mean you can condescend to me. You think you're fucking better than me? You think you're fucking better than me? I'll fucking kick your ass. I'll meet you at fucking Short Beach, and I'll fucking beat your ass, dude.
All right, so this gentleman has not only a question, brought with him an expert to help us unpack his
Ooh,
question.
I hope it's Here a munchie.
So Cecil talks about how he would have had to bribe NASA for an endorsement. Now, I don't believe NASA does endorsements, but my colleague here is a space lawyer, and he can speak to that.
Space lawyer! Oh, shit.
All right.
Man.
Is that your official title, space lawyer?
Space law counsel.
Space Holy shit!
Council.
That's right. That's right. People from Nahant hang out with space lawyers.
All right, so the question stands. Will NASA take bribes?
Now, I'm not counsel for NASA, okay. So I can't speak on behalf of NASA. But as I understand, they do not do endorsements.
NASA does not do endorsements.
Can I ask... just out of curiosity, what is the most interesting space case you've had?
I can't talk about clients, sorry.
Whoa!
Wow. Wait, let me ask you this. Have you ever represented anyone who was attacked by a munchie, a space creature, or not? I don't know. Has there ever been any munchies in court?
Well, they're not alive anymore, so I can't talk about them.
Is there anything, again, cut this from the podcast. Nobody's going to talk about it. Is there any space specific that you have knowledge of that you can share with us? Don't blow it.
No.
No?
His friend has advised him no.
Whoa!
Now, I have a friend who's here. I'm not going to blow up his spot unless he wants me to, but here we go. All right, you have more?
So,
go out on top.
Now the Nahant guy wants to talk more? Classic Nahant.
All right, so my question is about the business of his bribing the USSR. So he says the Soviets endorsed it because I cut them in for a percentage. How is that not more expensive and more illegal than bribing NASA?
Good question.
Unclear. You would need a space lawyer to answer it. Except this asshole's real tight-lipped. Next time, hang out with gossipier space lawyers.
Yeah, you brought him up there. He gave us nothing.
You know? You're going to give me a space lawyer? This guy better fucking show up with details. He better be like, I know where the munchies are buried.
All right, what do you got?
Okay, so towards the end of the movie, in the factory, we see a shot that has graffiti in the background that says, Stop Apartheid.
Yes. I wrote this in my list of things. I wrote this in my list of things that were from my high school experience. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is, based on your assessment of their behavior throughout the movie, are the munchies against apartheid and did they write that?
Wow, now that is a question.
That would be incredible. I feel like, yes, give it up for this hero. I do feel like the munchies are the only people, are the only beings in the movie that understand the truth. So yes,
again,
I believe.
Again, the munchies have though, more humanity than the humans in this movie.
Yes, I agree. Full stop.
I will also say though, yep, the munchies do refer to Harvey Korman as a honky.
That's true. So what are, this opens up, I don't know. I wish I knew.
All right, so obviously we had opinions about this film, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
Naughty little munchies blowing up old ladies' cars. Running online to give this movie 5 stars. Don't you know how it goes? When you give a munchie a porno, whatever you do, don't go and chop them up.
Ooh, chop, chop, chop. Ooh, chop, chop, chop.
Yes!
Joni! What are your names?
Jocelyn and Owen.
Jocelyn and Owen! With a Joni Mitchell song.
Let me just tell you, Jocelyn and Owen killed it. Costumes, check. Duo, check. Hit that moment, got out.
Got out. And their song choice was based on Joni Mitchell, Home Run.
All right, our final one, our Fry guy.
He's wearing fries that say BM.
Well, that's from the movie.
Oh, Balcony Monster.
Balcony Monsters, okay. Not Bowel Movement.
Okay, also a tank top that says Duke.
That's right.
From No Holds Barred.
No Holds Barred.
And a headband. Okay. Let's do this.
That's how I'm keeping cool, man.
This could go so far like one of two ways. And I will say this. I'm excited for either outcome.
By the way, I'll say this, DC. Every single person has crushed. This is going to be the icing on the cake. Get ready, my guy.
Turn that microphone up so it gets you. There you go. Yeah, you push it up. Right, yeah,
here,
there you go.
We're here. Hold on.
All right,
on.
Here we go.
Give me a second to breathe here. Hold
all right,
on.
Take your time.
Take your time. You need to do any
you
vocal
ready? You
warm-ups?
Tell me. All right.
You wanna, Do you want to do a theater vocal warm-up?
No, no, no.
A silk slip stop. It doesn't matter.
Go for it, man.
From another show on tour. And now it's time for second opinions.
I've got a pocket full of French fries. I've got a second opinion that's all mine. Oh, oh, oh. Take it. Take me out.
You should walk away now. I'll be honest. You should walk away now. You want to keep going?
Okay.
Of course he's gonna
you
keep going.
You want to gamble? You want to let it roll? Let's see what you got, my guy.
Hold up. All right. Try as you might, and you're never gonna screw me. Cut me in half, and now you got two me's. Okay.
Pretty good. Keep going.
We're going.
Keep going. Let's see what you got.
We're going.
You don't have to stop between each verse to check in with us.
You can't hear me. You can't hear me.
30 minutes later.
You're on a microphone. We can hear it.
Let's finish this. I'm bringing it home, all right? We're done. Some toxic waste makes cow snacks taste good on my plate. Some toxic waste. Down in the caves. Some toxic waste. Munchies are great.
Thank you. What's your name?
Pretty good. We didn't need the chorus. Get out of here.
I loved it.
Escort that man from the building.
Holy cow, DC.
DC, wow. Great job.
We're
Holy
still
shit.
Gonna get you home in time to relieve the nanny. Here we go. These are
How
five...
many people have a babysitter? Incredible stuff.
All right, here we go. There are 144 reviews of Munchies on Amazon. 56% are 5-star reviews. Aaron Smith from the UK in 2019 titles his review, "If you like it growing up, you'll like it." And writes this, "I watched this as a kid and it was amazing. For years, I've been trying to find it, but no luck until it was on Amazon. It's in Spanish, but you can change it to English." It was done in the 80s, so if you've never watched it growing up, you might not like it. It's the something as like Gremlins and Critters, but cheaper. 5 stars. This one written by Drew Campbell says this. Support women directors. 5 stars. And then I didn't see this until right now, and I love it. Michael Margetis writes this. It's like a really weird play. 5 stars.
I agree. Mount this as a stage production.
Munchies on stage. Now, here's a couple things that are interesting about Munchies. Budget, unknown. When you Google Munchies and budget, you get advertisements for the 420 Carl's Jr. snack sack.
Wow. Because it's what when you have the munchies but are on a budget?
I guess so. And Molly Reynolds, our super producer, Molly Reynolds writes, opening weekend, unknowable. Domestic gross, who knows? Now, Jason, to answer your question, Munchies, 1987, has no connection to Munchie, 1992.
Which I think we have to do.
Yes.
Next time we're in D.C., we're doing Munchie. I'm calling it now. This guy is freaking out. Munchies. Oh, it does. He says they are related.
Okay, it says, in this in name only sequel to Munchies, a new kid in town, Gabe Dodson, can't find his place in the new environment despite having such a cool name. The kids at school bully him, and the girl he likes and his mom is about to marry is a scoundrel. Everything changes for Gage when he stumbles into a munchie, a friendly gremlin-like creature that dresses like a lounge singer and sounds like a stand-up comedian and has magic powers.
Ooh, I wonder if it's Paul having been turned into a munchie. Have you seen it?
All right, okay, so this gentleman says, in the trailer for Munchie, it said, if you like the movie Munchies, well, this seems like a kid's
movie. What a crazy tagline.
Yeah, because that really isn't related. It's just like, hey, if you like that movie, here's another movie.
Yeah, with a similar title.
It's unrelated entirely, but if you like that, you might like this. I don't know.
Here's what I will say this about this movie, whether or not I recommend it. I kind of do recommend it. It's insane. But I also felt like it was full of missed opportunities. I wanted more. Are they violent? Are they mean? Or do they just want to do some cosplay? Because they really feel like they're more content playing pirates on a mini golf course than killing
munchies
or attacking
just
people.
Munchies just want to have fun. At one point, the munchies say something that I was like, munchies, I get it. They go to the video store and they say, I want to see a naked woman. And I was like, these munchies just want to hang out. I believe munchies are just stoned people. They just want to watch movies, eat food, mess around, joyride in a gremlin. They're just hanging out.
And I will say this about the munchies. There is something really chaste about this film. Like, it is a little perverted. They are a little weird. But there's no nudity. And I was surprised at the restraint. It's a PG movie.
Oh, yeah.
So this is for kids.
There's almost no cursing either. There's very little, like...
I'm surprised. That was not my experience watching this movie. I thought for sure at one point, I was like, I think I'm listening and watching a munchie jerk off. It felt to me very perverted.
Do munchies have dicks?
They seem like...
No, DC, you're not into that? After Second Opinion songs, you don't want to think about munchie dicks?
I think that munchies probably are into dry humping.
Munchies are into petting?
I don't know. I did not like when the munchies were at the golf course and looking at, you know, those girls, the tube girls bend over in you know, full coverage briefs.
One of the munchies...
Always full coverage undies in the 80s.
One of the munchies floats away on balloons? The munchies are just messing around.
I mean, Paul, I would not show this movie to our children.
I will say one of our children was watching over my shoulder.
Was it one of your children or was it a munchie?
And he started laughing so hard at what those munchies were getting up to. I mean, and he wasn't even listening to the sound. He was like...
We never find out what the munchies want. Like, what is
their
goal?
They want to live. They want to live.
They just want to multiply and just keep... Because that seems to be, when they're in the tunnel at the end, they seem to be purposefully getting themselves chopped in half so they can regenerate. So
they just want to keep on trucking.
They so do. Good.
Well, then let me just...
So good. That's true.
Just want to keep on
trucking.
Then
let me ask one final question.
No, it's the end of the tour. We got to do at least an hour more.
Am I right in saying the munchies only kill one person, and that is the person who's a stoner, which would be their biggest enemy because they hate what they see because they are him?
I feel like dude should have been in league with the munchies. They seem to have...
Paul should have been dude.
It's for me, it seems antithetical that dude, a stoner, Santa Cruz, deadhead, would shoot anything with a shotgun.
Immediately. His first reaction is, must kill this violently. But people who hurt people, or people who are hurt, hurt people. I don't know. There's something
hurt
there.
Hurt people, hurt people?
Hurt people, hurt people.
Melvis, I did write Melvis when they're in. Michael Lindell, Harvey Korman, appears to drive an ice cream truck everywhere he goes. And when he picks up Melvis, she's reading a tabloid with gremlins on the back. She's like reading
What was that?
I couldn't make heads or tails out of the movie's meta moments.
The thing that I'm most disturbed by, I have to share with our audience, is that we were on a train from Philadelphia to D.C. last night, and Paul and I both had our computers open, and I knew he had started to watch the movie, and I was pretending to watch the movie, but I wasn't ready to. And Paul passed me a few times, then we got to the hotel, my computer was out again, and I knew he thought I was watching the movie. And then this morning he said, because he had passed by my screen a few times. And this morning he said, wow, you were really up late finishing the movie. And I was like, I didn't watch it. And he said, no, I saw the movie on your computer. And I said, no, that wasn't the movie. And then he said, what was it? I said, The Real Housewives of Orange County.
Wait, of which? Which one?
Orange County.
Orange County. To be fair, a lot of them look like
munchies. Well, that's what I... You really did catch a number of glimpses of my computer screen last
And they were
night.
Always in the water on a lake. And I was like, oh, that's... I clearly haven't
they
watched
were in Montana.
Up to the point.
They went on a girls' trip to Montana this season.
So,
just
every
them
time...
and a couple of munchies and a ball and a tire. I love that both of us are trying to do the same joke right now. Go ahead.
I don't have it. Go for it. I mean, it's the
I'm
same.
I'm dating a munchie.
I was going to do like the turn to camera. Like, I like to eat garbage out of the fridge. Doesn't make me a bad munchie.
I don't like that Janice brought a munchie to this weekend.
Hey, cool out. Would you both recommend the film?
100%.
Should we make
the sequel? I had never heard of this movie before. I had never seen it in a VHS store. I was stunned at what I was watching.
I was shocked that we haven't done it before.
Me too.
This seems to me to be like everything I want in a movie.
I know. There are times with this podcast where I'm like, well, surely like we'll wrap it up. You know, we'll wrap up the podcast. We've done it.
Yes, it's over.
It's over. We did it.
We've overstayed our welcome.
We did it, and it was great that time. And then I see something like this, and I'm like, wow, there's more work to do, huh? We haven't.
Before we go, we need to decide on a shirt. I mean, there's been so many different things that we've said tonight that could be great for a shirt. I don't even know where to begin, honestly. I feel like the dude
These
is
These guys are freaking out right
All
here.
Right.
They've got a good
What do
one.
You got?
The image, can you do the munchies in the MyPillow logo?
Yes. Oh. Okay. I like this. How about Harvey Korman holding a munchie like a MyPillow, and it says,
My munchie? Munchie? Does it say My Munchie? Or My Munchie Pillow.
No, My Munchie.
My Munchie.
My Munchie.
That's pretty
good. We like that? Okay. Thank you so much, GC. This is a fun last show. Our merch is out in the lobby. Thank you for coming. We will be back. And remember, don't chop a munchie.
Go relieve the babysitter. Eat shit, DC.
Thank you so much to the staff of the Warner Theater, our amazing tour manager, Beth Thomas, and everyone in the audience who made it possible. What a great show. We love being out on the road. DC is such a fun town. And if you want to keep the magic of munchies with you, well, you can check out the shirt that we designed live with the audience that night. It is, well, I mean, My Pillow, but with Harvey Korman. I can't really describe this shirt. It's just amazing. It's My Munchie, the shirt. You can get a sticker, a laptop case, whatever you want. Just go to tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM. And if you're in the buying mood, make sure you check out our ugly holiday
How Did This Get Made sweaters. They're on PodSwag. If you go to podswag.com/bonkers, you can get 30% off any of the amazing ones. And we were giving these away on our last tour. Geostorm, Team Fred, Team Sanity. I'd rather have no dad than a snow dad, or snow dad, but no dad. Whatever it is, you can get it. Just go to podswag.com/bonkers. By the way, people, I'm going to be in a brand new holiday movie. It's called Family Switch. It's on Netflix. Me, Jennifer Garner, Ed Helms. So many good people. Check it out. I think you will like it. It's a Switch movie, and it's a Christmas movie. And by the way, just a heads up, we are taking last looks off for Thanksgiving, but don't fret. In its place, we will be re-releasing our favorite episode of all time. That's right, the Nick Cage, John Travolta action classic Face Off. If you want to find out what our next movie is going to be after that, make sure you tune into that Face Off re-release, because I will announce our next movie at the top of that episode. And don't worry, we will still be covering Munchies on a future supersized Last Looks episode. So don't forget to send us your corrections and omissions, or leave us a voicemail at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. Or just keep on writing your comments in our Discord at discord.gg/HDTGM. Remember, you can find us everywhere online. If you love the show, tell your friends. It really does help. I mean, that really is the best way to promote the podcast, word of mouth. Plus, it's more fun when you can watch these movies with people you know. And last but not least, I got to say thank you to all the listeners who support this show every week, and our entire behind-the-scenes team who keep this show running. I'm talking about our producers, Scott Sonny, Molly Reynolds, Avril Halley, our engineers, Casey Holford and Rich Garcia, and our associate producer, Jess Cisneros, who makes those amazing social media videos. That's all I got, people. Bye for now.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.